Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Psalms 103. We're in a series this week. I encourage you to grab your Christian guide, read through your bulletin, lots of things going on. Yard sales, new friend luncheon. Here's the thing, we'll feed you, we'll buy your junk. It's not junk. Yeah, real life class, small groups, all sorts of things going on. I don't want you to miss anything. Wednesday night series, Fresh Air, come check that out. While you're here, if you have children, we've got stuff downstairs for our youth, upstairs for our younger children, nurseries functioning. We got something for the whole family. It's going to be a great, great thing. Psalms 103, we're still in a series called Divine Benefits, and we're talking about the benefits of serving Jesus. And you know, when you go and interview for a job at some point or another, in that interview, you're going to ask what benefits come with the job, or they'll tell you what benefits come with the job. Well, I'm here to tell you that when you follow Christ, when you decide and make a decision with not just your mind, but your heart, soul, and mind, and you say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, there are benefits that come as a part of serving Jesus Christ. Isn't that great to know? One, two, three, four. Or about 10 of you. That's awesome. All right, we're going to go for 20 by the end of the service. They're going to be excited about this. There are benefits that are great. Now, last week, we talked about divine forgiveness, and we talked about how God forgives. God removes our transgressions, and as far as the east is from the west, we talked about how we think spherically. God doesn't think spherically. God thinks in a linear pattern. So when he says, as far as the east is from the west, he means they never shall meet again. God chooses not to remember your sin. God doesn't have a little secret file. God doesn't have a little book that he kind of writes these things down. And when you've messed up again and you go, God, hey, I'm really sorry. He goes, oh, really? Well, let's just look and see how long ago you were sorry for the same thing. God doesn't function that way. He removes our transgressions. He remembers our sins no more. And then the great thing, our third point, was that he releases us from our iniquities. And we talked about besetting sins, things that just seem to grip us. And I try and I try and I try. It can't seem that I beat this one. You know, you do this, you do that. You fast, you pray, you work out. You do whatever you think you can do. You go to all the Bible studies, all the small groups, but you keep tripping up over this thing. When you accept Christ into your life, he releases you from the besetting sins of your life. Now, the enemy says you're bound. God says you're free. The enemy says there's no hope. There's no change. You're never going to be free of this thing. God says, I have set you free. There is hope because I am hope and there is life after this thing. So I thank God today that we serve a Savior, that we serve a God who doesn't just save us, but he frees us. I think that's something to be excited about. Sierra agrees with me this morning. Listen, we have been forgiven and we need to forgive. So for our text this week, I want to go back to Psalms 103, but I want you to also kind of put your finger in Isaiah 53, and we're going to get there in just a bit. In our time today, we're going to talk about divine healing. Divine healing. One of the benefits of God is to be healed. And it's one of the benefits that he talks about in Psalms 103. And we're going to talk about it this morning, what it means, how do we receive it, how do we walk in it. So let's get into the word. Psalms 103, 1 through 5 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, and I love this, who heals all your diseases. You see, now that we spoke about him forgiving our iniquities last week, I need to kind of keep that on the table a little bit for today, because we're going to springboard off of that as we talk about our healing, because there's a truth there that we need to see. Now, in the same verse, he forgives all our iniquities, he heals all our diseases. I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me. Isn't it easier sometimes to believe the front part of that verse in the back part of that verse? Because if I mess up, if I trip up, if I fall down, think something stupid, say something stupid, and there's a lot of stupid in me, all right? I can say, God, forgive me, and I'm sorry, and help me to be better, and help me to do better. And I can get up from that moment, and I can really believe and feel and know in my spirit that God has forgiven me of that. He's removed it. He's released me of that, and I'm free to now be who he's called me to be. I feel so good and so strong and so real about the front of that verse. But when it comes to he heals all of your diseases, that one's a little tougher to wrestle with. Because there's days I'm still sick. And some of you this morning, you know, you might even say, hey, is that verse true? Is that verse for today? Is that verse, you know, there? You see, I know by grace God forgives my sins, but I have health problems. I'm diabetic. I take shots every night. Hate it. I know people who I love and I care for who are battling their health issues and have things that they're dealing with that are very real, very true. Can't ignore them. Don't pretend they're not there. So if God heals all of our diseases, why are we still sick? Why does that happen? Why do we deal with these things? And so we have those things. God forgives all of our sins, but he doesn't always heal our diseases, right? Unless you're good enough, unless you have enough faith, credits built up. Why is it that sometimes we're healed and sometimes we're not? Well, we're going to get into this. I want to first say this. I believe that this is the Word of God, and I believe that the Word of God is true. I believe it is true from the front to the back, from the top to the bottom, and everything in between. And I think we need to read the Word of God. I think we need to know the Word of God, and I think we need to not just read it and know it, because that's not enough. I think we need to apply it. And I think we need to live it on a daily basis and in a daily way. So here's the thing. If he heals all of our diseases, why is ... sick? And the truth of the matter is all of us could put a name in the blank, couldn't we? How many of you know someone who's sick today? Please don't point at me. So we're going to look at this verse in the next 3 hours that we have together. What? Come on now. And I'm going to do it. No, stop. Seriously, I can handle me talking for 3 hours. I'd have to shut myself up. But we're going to look, and I'm going to do my best to explain to you why this verse is true, that he heals all our iniquities and he heals all of our diseases. And I think sometimes as believers that we do get sick. We do battle things in this flesh that we can overcome with Jesus Christ. So a couple of questions we're going to ask. The first one is this, why? Why? Why do we get sick? Why do people get sick? And I put why, ... Because you may want to fill in that blank. Why am I not healed? Why did my mom or my dad get sick? Why did this person pass away? Why wasn't they healed? Why was this person healed and that person not healed? You know, we've prayed, we've trusted, we fast, we believe, we read the scriptures, we do all the right things, we do all the things that we know to do, and sometimes it changes and sometimes it doesn't change. And we've all been on probably both sides of that equation, or if not on both sides of that equation, at least known people who have been on both sides of that equation. So why does it happen that way? If God heals all disease, then why? Because all of us have had somebody pass. All of us have said, God, why didn't you heal so-and-so? Why did they die? Why did I miscarry? Why did I lose the child? Why did my mom die, dad die? Why are we dealing with the things that we deal with on this word? When your word says you're a God who heals all, and that's a big word. For only three letters, it's a big word. So why? So we just read a verse that says, forgive all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. And the same verse, who forgives? Psalms 103, verse 3. And I want you to see that there's a pattern throughout the Word of God where God puts forgiveness and healing in the same context. Now, if you have your finger in Isaiah 53, I want you to turn to that. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read you a portion of Scripture where forgiveness and healing are in the same verse. Now, I'm going to read Isaiah 33. I want you to turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 33, 24 says this, and the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. Here you go again. God talking about sickness, being healed and our iniquities being forgiven in the same verse, same context. Now, this verse in Isaiah 33 is talking about Zion. Now, Hebrews 12 says that we have not come to a mountain that can be touched with fire. And what it means by that is we're not talking about a physical mountain, something that Israel could go up, something that they could walk up. They're not talking about Mount Sinai like Israel, but Zion. And Zion means this, gathered worshipers. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, it says that you have come to the church of the firstborn, to those who are registered in heaven. And what he's talking about there is he's talking about the church. People who have given their hearts to the Lord, people who have said, Jesus, come and be the Lord of my life. We know in scripture that when you're saved, it says that they write your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life today? Three of you. It's exciting to know that when I've given my life to Jesus, Jesus says, hey, I don't want to forget this one. He doesn't want to forget you either. He doesn't forget you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you know him. So we are in the book. We're registered in heaven. He's talking about the church. And he's talking about Zion when it says people who dwell there aren't going to say, I am sick. They've been made perfect. They've been sprinkled with forgiveness. Now in Isaiah 53:5, we read the first part of that verse last week. I want to read the second part today. I'll read the whole thing, but we're going to focus on the second part. Verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Forgiveness and healing again in the same verse. God speaks of them together. God speaks of them freely. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, our chastisement, our punishment is what he's talking about. Wasn't given to us, but it was put on Jesus on the cross, and he took it so that we could be forgiven and that we could have right relationship with God, and then by his stripes we are healed. There's a verse in the Old Testament, it's a Messiah scripture, but it's touched on again in the New Testament in 1 Peter 2:24, and it says this, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Yet again, forgiveness and healing together, connected. Now, some will say that that word healed in that scripture is the word, it's a Greek word, it's sozo, S-O-Z-O, but it's pronounced S-O-D-O, sozo, and it means made whole. That's what that means. It's translated many times as the word saved, but what it means is to be made whole. And when you think of being made whole, you're talking about your spirit, your soul, and your body. Being made whole spiritually, made whole emotionally, and made whole physically. So by his stripes, we are made whole. Again, forgiveness and healing in the same verse. I know I'm kind of building something, but I'm going somewhere, so stick with me. All right, 1 Peter 2:4 says this, he bore our sins. Let me ask you a question. I want you to answer me out loud, okay? Do you believe that Jesus bore your sins on the cross? Do you believe that he also bore your sickness on the cross? Amen. Because we're trying to answer the question why, and this is important that you understand this. Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Now grief in this verse, when you look it up, means sickness. Isaiah is in the Old Testament, it's in Hebrew, and in the Hebrew, it's 24 times that word is used. 4 times it's translated griefs, 20 times it's translated sickness. It's also quoted in the New Testament, Matthew 8:16-17. The evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So he bore our sins on the cross. He bore our sickness on the cross. So here's my question. If Jesus bore our sins and Jesus bore our sickness, why do we still get sick then? Some of you are thinking, well, it's because I ate that Tupperware container in the fridge that had been there for a couple of weeks. My wife said I wouldn't eat it, but I thought, I've got a strong stomach. I'll be fine. Why do we still get sick? Why do people still pass? Why do people still get cancer. Why do people get sick? We've all lost loved ones. Psalms 103, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. You see, iniquities is sins. Disease is sickness. And when Jesus bore these things, we need to understand the aspects of how he bore them for us. We all agree he bore our sins and he bore our sicknesses on the cross. But let's look at how he bore them. He bore three things. I'm going to start all with P's so it's easy for you to forget. When Jesus was on the cross, he took the penalty of our sin. He took the power of sin. And he took the presence of sin. This is how he bore them. So let's look at the first one. Jesus bore the penalty of our sin. When Jesus was talking to John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. God is all tense. God is past, God is present, and God is future. God is eternal, right? He's unchanging. He's the same. He's always there. We have been saved. We are being saved. And one day we will be completely saved. And so what I mean by that is this. When you asked Jesus into your life, you were saved. Your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, as we walk on this earth and as we study his scriptures and we learn more about Christ and we learn how to live more for him, we are being going through the process of sanctification, which is making us more like him. So we're saved and we continue to be saved. We continue to have parts of our lives that were flesh kind of nailed to the cross and we become more like Christ in us, right? Are you with me? So we're saved, we're being saved, and one day you and I all are going to step from this life onto the next. And we are completely finished. The race is done. So we've been saved, or being saved, and will one day be saved. Now we've been saved from the penalty of sin if you believe in Jesus. All right? One day we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Because there is no sin in heaven, right? No grief, no sorrow, no sickness. Nothing. Now we're being saved from the power of sin. And even though we as believers are saved from the penalty of it, there still is in this earth the presence of sin. And when there is the presence of sin, sometimes we trip up and fall, don't we? I mean, not y'all, but y'all know people. All right, do you understand what I'm saying today? Is I'm saved. I'm saved. Jesus is in my heart. I love Jesus. But because there is the presence of sin in the world, sometimes I stumble. Because the presence is there. Now, how many of you this morning have said, I've given my heart to Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of my life. Let me see your hands. All right, how many of you have sinned since you became a believer? Oh, Jesus just saw that. All of us have. But if he bore our sins, how could we have done that? If Jesus took all my sin, why would I stumble? How could I stumble? Because here's this. Not only has he bore our sin, but he bore the power of sin. Now, as a believer, haven't you also found victory over sin in your life? Aren't you glad today you're not the person you used to be? I don't have to think that way. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to act that way. I used to be crazy and stupid, and now I'm just crazy. So he bore the power of sin. God says, you don't have to stumble. Because the presence is in the world, sometimes we do, but God lifts us up. He picks us up. He bore the sin, but we can find victory over some sin in our life. But sometimes we still fall to the power of sin because its presence is still in the world. He bore our sickness on the cross. So what's the word tell us? And we know the word is true. So because sickness is still present in the world, sometimes even as believers, we fall under the power of sickness. God, why did I get sick? Because sickness is in the world and we live in a fallen world. Do I need to convince you today that we live in a fallen world? It's very easy. Go home and turn your TV on. Because evil is still present. Sometimes we fall under the power of it. So that answers the question, why? You know, how can I say that Jesus heals all our diseases? One of my loved ones passed away from sickness. Because we live in the presence of evil in this world, and sometimes we still fall under its power. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't bear the penalty of it on the cross. I'm going to say something. I hope you never forget this. God will never punish you for your sin because he's already punished Jesus at Calvary. I want you to understand that. I want you to grasp that. Listen, if you are sick this morning, if you're battling depression, if you're battling cancer, if you're battling, I'll say diabetes because I'm fighting that. You're battling diabetes. You're battling a physical issue, a mental issue, an emotional issue. What you need to understand, God is not using that to punish you for anything. That is not what his word teaches. That is not what his word says. I don't believe that God uses sickness to punish his children because Jesus bore our sickness on the cross. Exodus 15, 26, he says this, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. You see, that's the foretelling of grace to God's people. So the first question was why. The second question I want to answer today is how. All right, I understand why we're sick. We sometimes get sick because sickness is still in the world. And even though Jesus overcame the world and he bore the penalty of it, the power of it, and the reality of it, because we live in a world that its presence is still here, sometimes we stumble in it. Sometimes it happens. As a believer, should I ever get allergies? I don't know. Do you have allergies? Yeah. Well, then yeah. So how? How do I receive my healing? If he's a God who heals all my disease, how am I healed? How does that work? Well, let me ask you this. How did you receive forgiveness of sins? Because it's in the same verse. Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. It's all there. We receive forgiveness by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace, everybody say grace. Grace, you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are saved by grace through faith and not of works. And we know that in James, he says that's the kind of faith that works. We aren't saved by faith, but by grace through faith. It's not if I believe enough, if I'm good enough, if I believe just a little bit more, if I give just a little bit more, if I teach a Sunday school just a little bit longer, if I serve in nursery just a couple more times, I'll have enough good credits built up in heaven that I can cash them in for my healing or for my forgiveness. That's not the way that God works. If you think that your faith and your faith alone is what saves you, that is arrogance. I want to say that again. If you think that your faith and your faith alone is what saves you, that's arrogance. We are saved by grace in through faith. You got to understand that. So here's the thing. There are two extremes to salvation. One is you have to work and earn it to go to heaven. And there's a lot of people who teach that. I don't believe that. I think that we are saved by grace through faith. That I as a sinner can say, God, I believe in you. And I want you to come and be the Lord of my life and be the Savior of my heart. And I am saved. I am saved because I put my trust and my belief in him. And he saves me because of who he is, not necessarily because of who I am. Because if it was dependent on me, God would say, well, let me think about it. All right? You feel like you have to earn it. The second thing is this. You have to believe and keep on believing, and you have to believe more every week. And if you doubt one moment, one second, then I don't even know if you're really saved. And you got to get saved again. So, I mean, I'm 43 years old. I kind of grew up in a day and a time in church that you kind of got saved every week. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And, you know, I can remember going to church and just feeling like, okay, beat on me. You know, and it's just you go to church and you think you've done pretty good. You think you had a good week and the pastor, if you've had one thought that did not, well, I did want to, you know, I just wanted to punch one person. Well, am I really saved? So I'm going to the, oh, God, help me. God's like, you should have punched him in the face. You know, and so you get into, these are the extremes. These are the extremes of salvation we sometimes deal with. You got to work and earn it. And then once you got it, if you just have one moment, one little question of God, I don't understand. Well, then you're not really saved.
And we know that's not true. That's not how salvation works. That's not what he says. You're saved by grace through faith. So how do you get healed? By grace through faith. It's the same verse. It's the same response. There are two extremes that exist when it comes to our healing. And you'd be amazed, but there are people who believe this. One is people believe that God doesn't heal anymore. They believe that Jesus healed when he was on earth, and the disciples, who were kind of the first apostles, apostolic, that they were able to heal, but when they died off, so did all healing. So if you're here today and you're sick, sorry. You know, and so you know what we do? People who kind of team all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, we see the healings of God and God moving and God touching and God, you know, raising up lame and healing the blind and healing those who were just emotionally torn up, and God touching makes us whole. So God makes us whole again. All through the Old, all through the New Testament and whatnot, and then all of a sudden he just kind of stops. So health today is all based on your ability to eat well, to exercise, to take care of yourself, and it's all works, isn't it? I love watching Facebook. I ran 26 miles today in 14.2 minutes. I'm like, I hope a dog bites you, you know? Listen, if you think your health is all in your ability to take care of yourself, that's a works mentality. Can we earn health? No, health is a gift of God. Are we required to steward ourselves? Absolutely. Should we eat healthy? Yeah. Work out. Watch what you eat. Drink lots of water. Take care of yourself. There's no sin in that. There's no sin in that. But to think I'll be healthy because of what I do, you're pushing. Health is a gift from God, and we need to steward that gift. And do those things. The second thing is this: you're healthy by faith. Two extremes. God doesn't heal anymore, and the other one is you're healthy by faith. That if I have enough faith, I'll be healed. And I'm gonna tell you something, there are so many people have been damaged by this theology in church. So many people. My wife and I, when we were still in Hagerstown, had a miscarriage. We were, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months along, and I had gone to work. We were kind of recovering through that. It's a tough thing. And I came home to our apartment, and I opened the door just in time to see a lovely sister who was a member of the church who had come over to check on us. And as I opened the door, I heard her say, "Well, if you would have had enough faith, your baby would still be alive." Can I tell you, that thinking, that theology has damaged more people in the church. Do we need to have faith? Yeah, faith in Jesus. Yes. Yes to faith. But I'm healed by grace through faith. That I look to my Heavenly Father and I say, "Hey, God, I'm not feeling well. God, can you touch? God, can you heal?" All through your word, I see it and I know it. And God, I'm gonna do what I can do. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to take care of myself. If I've got cold, I'm going to take cough medicine. If I've got a headache, I'm going to take an aspirin. You know, I'm going to take a nap. You know, that's medical, right? So, you know, I'm going to do what I can do. But God, I know that my healing comes from you. Listen, you're not healed because you do everything right. You're not healed because you have enough faith. None of us always do everything right, and none of us have perfect faith, but you can be healed by grace through faith. You can receive it because it is the gift of God to us. Remember Luke 5 when they cut the hole in the roof? Jesus was in the house, and some men had their friend who was paralyzed, and they wanted him to get to Jesus because they wanted Jesus to pray for him, and they couldn't get in, and so they did, you know, common sense is, well, we can't get through the door. Let's rip the roof off. They get on the roof, they cut a hole, and they lower Jesus down. Can you imagine being the owner of that house? I'm just sitting there thinking, what? You know? Baby, get my gun. You know? They lower him down. They get him to Jesus. They want him to be prayed over and to be healed. And Jesus looks at him, and you know what Jesus says? "Your sins are forgiven."
Can you imagine the guy? Yeah, whoa, hey, Jesus, can I have a minute? I didn't lower him down the hole for you just to forgive his sins. I lowered him down the hole. I got to fix this roof. I was hoping he'd be healed and he could help. Your sins are forgiven. And Pharisees were right. And they get all wound up. Who is he to forgive sins? And they just lose their mind over this. Luke 5:23-24, and it says this: which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Which is easier for God, to forgive sins or to heal? The answer is both are easy for him. Listen, I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be encouraged, because if you're going through something in the same way that you receive forgiveness, I want you to receive healing. And I don't want you to feel condemned today if you are battling something, because God does not punish his children that way. By grace, through faith. Don't forget his benefits. Health is one of them. Receive health the same way that you receive forgiveness, by grace. So we pray for healing, but I don't want you to just pray for healing. I want you to pray for healing, and I want you to pray for health, because health is a gift of God. All of our days are numbered. All of our days are in his hands. Amen. So we've talked about, why do we still get sick? We've talked about, how do we receive healing? So let's talk about the third thing, which is simply this: what if? What if, ... fill in the blank. What if I'm not healed? What if they aren't healed? What do I say? How do I handle that? What do I tell my friends that I've told, I'm praying for this person to be healed? What if they aren't healed? Well, here's the answer, and here's the only response we can have. We're going to trust God anyway. We're going to trust God anyway. Let me show you how Paul answered this question. Philippians 1:20. He says this: so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul says, can God heal? Yes. Is it a gift? Yes. If he gives it, will I receive it? Absolutely. But you know what? I'm not going to stop saying, stop praying, stop living, stop giving, stop serving. I'm not going to change my mind and saying, God, no matter what I am facing, let Christ be magnified in me. Whether in health or in sickness, rather in plenty or in not, may Christ be magnified in me. That's my heart. Sometimes, church, you got to simply trust God. You trust him with your healing. You trust him when you aren't. You just trust God. And whether I'm healed or not, let Christ be magnified in me. Steph and I have had a couple of different miscarriages. We have seen God heal before our eyes, and I have watched God not heal. I've had heart attacks, miracles happen that spared my life, and I have watched people whom I loved and cared for and be taken home. I don't always understand the dynamics. I don't. I don't stand here today and say, well, here's why this one happened, and here's why that happened. I don't know. I know this, that we are healed by faith, or by grace through faith, and we trust in God for it. Every night when I take my insulin shot, I just had a doctor's appointment. I have to take 4 now a day. That's fun. Every time I do, I'm like, God, wouldn't it just be easier to heal me? I'm just, y'all, I'm trying to lay a case out here. I'm trying to talk with God. Just heal me. It's easier. It's got to carry this stuff. I'm a busy man. But I'm going to tell you something, whether he does or whether he doesn't, I trust him, and I'm going to serve him. And I'm going to give him whatever I got to give. And until my dying breath, which I hope is a long, long, long time from now, he's going to be my God. And I'm going to be his child. So let's trust him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll close with this. This is what I know. God forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. We live in an evil world, but he is faithful. truth is, we're going to trust Him no matter what. Amen.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.